A. Scott Berg, the Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award winning author of Lindbergh, Kate Remembered, Max Perkins, editor of Genius and Goldwyn, received remarkable acclaim this past year for Wilson, his first book published in more than 10 years. Wilson is a biography of Berg's boyhood hero, Woodrow Wilson, the enormously important and influential, but enigmatic and often mischaracterized 28th President of the United States. The book is now out in paperback. It is published by Berkeley, and it's a great pleasure to have Scott Berg join us this morning. Scott, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. My pleasure. Happy to be with you.
Very nice to have you with us. You joined us for the publication of the hardcover, and it's very nice to have you back. What has this journey been like for you in these months of talking about and realizing how other people resonate with this man?
Well, it's really been fascinating, actually. It's been like a presidential tour going around the country. The first thing I see, hear, and notice is just how forgotten so many historical figures are. I mean, we have a very short memory in this country. I remember Gore Vidal, the writer, once said, you know, if it's not on television, nobody knows it. And there's some truth, you know, to that, Woodrow Wilson having been president a year ago. Then once I do talk about Wilson, I find today what Wilson found in his own day, which is what a polarizing figure he is. People either adore him or they hate him. There's very little in between with him. And that's good, I think. I mean, it gets conversation going. I'd like people to love him or to hate him, or maybe find something in between. And realize that however you feel about him, he was extremely important. That we live in a world today that is very largely designed by Woodrow Wilson.
So help me with the hate part, because I don't come out of reading this book with a sense of I can see where you could be disappointed. I could see where you could be perhaps not on board and not like certain aspects of his policy and of his personality. But to go that for actual hatred.
Well, I'll start with the greatest haters are the likes of Glenn Beck, for example, who I think a few years ago made a list of the 10 most evil human beings who ever lived, and Woodrow Wilson was number one.
Did he make his own list?
Yeah,
I was just wondering if he was on his own list. Yes.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't think so. That's the love list. But Hitler, I think, was six, and Woodrow Wilson was number one. And a lot of it has to do with Woodrow Wilson's very progressive agenda. 100 years ago, was really the first important federal intervention, quote, in our lives. You know, with the lot of things, the national. Bank that he did, the Federal Reserve System, you know, which is a big part of our lives today. The modern income tax. These are things that a lot of people still resent. The whole list of government agencies, the Federal Trade Board, things like that. You know, why do we need all that? So that's one of the reasons conservatives hate him a great deal. Liberals a lot hate him. Because they don't quite understand racially where this country was 100 years ago. So they don't realize that, in fact, in Wilson's day, he was a centrist. But when you look back and you say, gee, Wilson segregated the post office and the Treasury Department in 1913, that seems like a hateable crime. So people really dislike him intensely for that. And then his personality, it was severe. He compromised very little, and in some ways he really did himself in, because he tried to get a League of Nations after World War One, and at the very last minute, when he was losing the battle, the Senate offered him some compromises, which really were kind of minor, but Wilson just wouldn't accept them. So that unyielding attitude, I think, makes him hateable to a lot of people.
When it comes to your interest in him, what characteristics were there that drew you to him, even as a boy?
Well, even as a boy, and I first started to read about Woodrow Wilson when I was 15, I think what I was attracted to was the idealism, that here was a president who said, maybe we have just fought the war to end all wars. maybe we should have something called a League of Nations, where the leader of every country will sit down at a big table and agree to discuss peace before they would ever send a troop into a foreign country. That really appealed to me. The fact that he was the most educated president we ever had interested me. He's to this day the only president who has a PhD. The fact that he created a dialogue with the Congress, that he, even when he disagreed violently with the opposition, he always kept the conversation going. He would go down to Congress to talk to the legislators, or he would invite them to the White House, so that there was this dialogue that was always going on in this country. I love that he was a man of ideas as well as ideals. So those were the things that appealed to me as a 15-year-old, and now a half century later.
I remember talking to you about this when the book first came out in hardcover, but really a lot of this project got helped greatly by this by new letters and new information that became available to you.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, it's amazing to me that here it is 90 years after Woodrow Wilson died. And there in an attic in Massachusetts, and there in a garage in Virginia, in the last 10 years, trunkloads of Woodrow Wilson's papers have been discovered. I mean, how does this happen? It just makes you wonder what's in everyone else's attic and garage. But there they were, tens of thousands of documents that really helped me not just tell the story of Woodrow Wilson, but help me personalize the story, because they were all personal documents that allow me to humanize him. And that's, first of all, what I try to do with my biographies in general, but with Wilson in particular, you know, because when you're dealing with an institutional figure like a president, we lose sight of the fact that these were real men. These were fathers, husbands, sons, you know, who woke up every day and went to work and did a job and believed in something and tried to make the country better. So anyway, that's what I got out of those trunkloads of letters.
This is a, I have to say, you know, you read of his presidency, and I want to talk about some of the, the lasting effects of that presidency in a moment, but his death and suffering a stroke in 1919, keeping that medical condition from the public, and ultimately even his cabinet, right,
yes,
a year and a half, I guess.
Absolutely.
And but as you write in the book, I mean, he left office a tragic figure.
There's no question about it. Just the image of it. You know, I say in my book he was the lamest duck who ever left the White House.
Yeah.
And he was quite literally lame. He had this stroke. He could still speak and think, but he had lost mobility on his left side. And so he really staggered out of office. And he was suffering from emotional swings, just great mood swings. And he was just he was a broken man, because his League of Nations went down in flames. The Congress wouldn't buy it. And so his heart was broken.
So where does the legacy go on now, do you think? Where do we look and say, okay, he left a broken man, but this is what he accomplished that remains his legacy and stays with us today?
Well, although it's not exactly what Wilson had hoped for, a generation later, we did get a United Nations, which is a version of the League of Nations. We certainly have, again, for good or bad, we have Woodrow Wilson's legacy in our foreign policy. In 1917, Woodrow Wilson said, "The world must be made safe for democracy." And almost every president since Woodrow Wilson has used that as the basis of foreign policy, whether we are going, you know, to Vietnam, whether we go to Iraq, wherever we go, that is the battle cry. So that's Woodrow Wilson. And indeed, the economy of this country really got recreated 100 years ago by Woodrow Wilson, when he introduced the modern income tax instead of tariffs, when he started the Federal Reserve System, giving us the Federal Reserve Bank. the Federal Trade Commission. You know, all these things come from Woodrow Wilson. So 40-hour work week, child labor laws, antitrust laws. This is Woodrow Wilson's legacy. Putting the first Jew on the Supreme Court, which was the first important glass ceiling to get shattered, paving the way for women, for blacks. You know, all this comes through Woodrow Wilson.
In the, and we talked about it this at the beginning, and certainly a book like this and these new papers and things that, that become available, the reputation is only growing, that people are understanding and putting that in history. Yes, there are still the detractors, there's still the haters, as we discussed, but overall, people seem to be getting a greater understanding in history, at least, of what this man accomplished.
Well, I think there's some truth in that, although that's sort of become my crusade. What I find myself fighting, of course, is the passage of time. And unfortunately, with each year, you know, we focus more on the present than the past. So part of the reason I wrote this book is to correct that, is to reintroduce Wilson into our thinking. And again, it's fine with me as his biographer if you really dislike what he did. It's a very mixed legacy in a lot of ways, but you can't deny the importance of what he did. And I think it's something Americans should know about.
Your diversity of topics has always fascinated me. And it's a very interesting group of, as I mentioned, everyone from Lindbergh to Wilson to Goldwyn to Katharine Hepburn. So when I assume if I ask you the question of what you're working on next, you can't tell me, right?
Well, I could tell you, but I'd have to shoot you.
Okay, right. All right. I figured that.
No, I can't tell you. I can't tell you for a very good reason, which is I don't know who it is.
That's a good reason.
I'm actively looking for a subject, and I'm hoping maybe you'll give me one.
All right. So let me focus the question then. So given that it's eclectic, would you like to stay away from politics, or would you like to
I
go?
Think I would. Here's the through line for me. My beat, if you look at all the characters I've written about, they're all 20th century American cultural figures.
Right.
That's what I cover. And each one is from a different wedge of the apple pie. My first book was about Max Perkins, the book editor who discovered Hemingway and Thomas Wolfe and F. Scott Fitzgerald and so forth. And then, as you said, you know, Goldwyn and Lindbergh and so forth. So each one came from a different part of the country. Each one was in a different part of American cultural life. So, yes, I would like to find somebody different if I could, but, you know, if I hear a great idea and it's a political figure or a great movie figure or a great literary figure, I pounce on it.
Doris Kearns Goodwin told me that one of the, this is on the Lincoln book and even the Taft book, especially the Lincoln book, that the saddest thing is letting them go. Did you feel that way about Wilson?
Well, it's always tough, yes, and especially with Wilson in that he's been with me since I was 15 years old when I first read about him. But that being said, you know, I have spent the last year on the road. I've hardly left Woodrow Wilson. You know, I've spent every day out there talking about him, and that gives me great pleasure. And to this day, I mean, my first book on Max Perkins was published 35 years ago. I still go out and talk about Max Perkins. And indeed, in about 1 month, they're going to start a film with Colin Firth playing Maxwell Perkins.
Oh, that's great.
And Jude Law playing Thomas Wolfe.
Not a bad cast.
They're part of my lives, very much. Very much. They're my children. I don't abandon them.
The book is Wilson. It is published by Berkeley. Scott Berg, always a pleasure to have you with us. And I do hope you'll come back when the new book comes out, or even before then. And I thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Being
well,
with
thanks
us.
Thanks for inviting me back this time. I really appreciate it.
A great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.